of the street.
On the dark end of the street.
On the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
To the dark one low.
On the bright side of the road.
On the dark end of the street.
On the dark end of the street. On the dark end of the street.
This station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Good afternoon, it's Who Cares Wins, Monday afternoon again, and you're listening to my dulcet tones. This is Angela Breyer-Stevenson. Good afternoon, listeners, lovely to have you. Not quite sure where the sunshine is, but hey, we don't need it when we're indoors listening to our super duper pooper scooper show on channelradio.co.uk. It's going out the window now, Jan. She was so pleased with all my detailed instructions today. Welcome, Jan. Stop laughing at me.
Good afternoon.
And of course, the lovely Sue Parker.
Good afternoon.
And we have a jam-packed show today. I am being time-challenged today.
You are indeed.
I am, aren't I? You're very impressed, though, Jan, aren't you, with my lesson plan and my timings that I emailed you. Oh, it took me all week to do it, listener. Oh, I'm having a headache and a breakdown now because I've got all various buttons and things to press. So bear with us if it all goes wrong. I'm going for the walk and Jan too can carry on. But we have a wonderful show this week, and also follows on into next week's show, where we have fantastic people talking to us, either with recordings that we made a couple of weeks ago now when we went up to Pilgrim's Hospice in Canterbury, and we went to see lovely people there, Martin Yates and the lovely Reverend Elizabeth, although she was called Reverend Liz Chapman. And we went to see them not only to look around and explore and experience the labyrinth that they have there on site at the Pilgrim's Hospice, but also to find out a lot more of information to do with the team, their responsibilities, other things they do for the people that are there, the carers, the volunteers. There's so much that we didn't realise went on, and we wanted to share that with our listeners and things that you may not know about. And more importantly, later on this afternoon in the show, we also have, technology permitting and Angela's fingers working to the bone, we'll have various people, including Nick Evans, who is their communications manager at Pilgrim's Hospice, and I believe he's being joined by two other people on air. And we're going to have them talking to us about how the Divas on Wheels went on
that
Sunday.
Was yesterday.
Yes.
Mixed weather for that, but it seems to have gone well.
So I wonder if there were a few people that were a little bit wet from the rain. And we also have other fundraising opportunities, which again, some of the things I've been exploring this week, some fantastic ways of supporting Pilgrim's Hospice and the ways of you, the listener, can get involved, rather than thinking, well, if I don't want to ride a bike or I don't want to run or I don't want to do any physical activities, there's loads of other ways to do things. So we have a fantastic jam-packed show that, as I say, time challenging for Angela, but hey, we can do this. So before much further ado, I'm going to now pass over to my other gadget over here, which should play a recording if I press the right button. Jan's overseeing it. She's my supervisor for the day. But it is a recording.
Stop laughing,
and what we've done is we've edited the recording so they don't necessarily flow as in a general chat that we would have in the show with a live, not that these people are dead, but a live show. We are talking about people that have we've recorded with them, they sat down. So we apologise if some of the recording you might have to turn your volume up on your speakers, because we might be loud, but you might find, especially Martin, he has a very good voice, quite clear, but then I think Liz sometimes can be a little bit quieter, I think, when I listen back to some of the recordings. So just bear that in mind, that when you do tune in, so you might need to play around with your speaker volume. And it does, this first recording does just follow on from part of the recording that we're going to play to you next week, which is more about the labyrinth that they have there. So just this first part, when you hear it, listener, it's talking about the labyrinth and some of the history behind thousands and thousands of it being years old. So don't worry that, well, hang on, where did that come from? Have I missed a bit? Don't panic. That will be in more depth next week's show. So without me reaching too far a phone. Now press that button there. That should work. I've turned that up.
It's faint.
Let me turn us down.
I can't claim to have been the first complementary therapist in a hospice, because I think there was one in North Wales. But I came in 1988 here, and there weren't any others at that time that we knew of. Mm. So Pilgrims was one of the first to have that facility. Mm. And we were definitely the first with the labyrinth. And again, it was the right thing to do, because other hospices have found the same, got the same facility, their own design and all the rest of it, and have found the benefit of it. And if things aren't of benefit, they don't multiply and they don't stay very long. And of course, that's the other thing to think about. You know, the oldest one's 3,500 to 4,000 years old. So come back in 3,000 years' time and see if that one's still there. Yeah, yeah. That would be a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be here. Who cares when's going in? Absolutely brilliant. And for the future developments, that leads with one of the questions we had about is there anything else then that, without sharing secrets, that you are looking to bring to Pilgrims, and any other sort of complementary that follows on from the labyrinth, or in addition, or
it's expanding all the time, isn't it?
It's what's needed. Yeah. I think one of the things we say to our patients and carers all the time is, if there's anything you think we ought to be doing for you, ask us, because if we can, we'll do it. I've been here 20 odd years, and officially I do aromatherapy, massage and reflexology. Unofficially, I do bits of other people, things like that. We knew the benefits of Reiki, but it took a bit of time. Matthew up at the hospital had a big Reiki practitioner group up there. I've managed Stephen and the team, said yes, we're in a position now where we can expand our facilities with volunteer, but we've got 4 or 5 Reiki practitioners coming during the week now, one in the evening and one on Sunday afternoons, and the rest during the week. And the patients are benefiting from that, because they had it at the hospital, and therefore we continue the service. Yes. So, but that was a need that was voiced by our patients, and so whatever we go into will be that. It's always better, best way there, rather than us sitting there, don't you think it'd be a good idea to do so? Yes, for us it'll be great. And then you think, well, why isn't anyone turning up?
I mean, all our work has to be patient-led.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And apart from your resident staff, you have volunteers on reception. Are some of your additional services volunteer services, or are they paid for? And do you have to find funding for that?
I have volunteer chaplains who go to Kensington Canterbury and do a chaplaincy training course. And then start with me. I have 5 at the moment. So we're always looking to expand that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that ranges from pastoral care to actually taking a service on a Sunday, depending on the person's abilities.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
So But a lot of the work here is voluntary, isn't it? Mm.
I have the volunteer community therapist. So they're working as a complementary therapist in the community, and they give us 3 or 4 hours a week of their time. But also I run a hand and foot massage training course for our volunteers on the desk or in day hospice, and they're invaluable, because everybody knows then that someone we can give a hand or foot massage. We've always got, by the feel of it, someone on. All the staff, virtually all the staff who wanted to be trained have been trained. But again, that's expanded what we can do in the community, because I've got one or two go to a patient's home at the weekend and give them a hand and foot massage, which is so beneficial in all sorts of different ways. We rely on volunteers. All hospices do.
Yes.
The volunteer side is underpinning everything, because it's so valuable. Write down folding napkins.
That's right.
While you're sitting on reception.
We saw earlier. Many talented.
Yeah. Our volunteers are wonderful. And also there's all the drivers that bring our patients in, the ones that work in day hospice. Mm-hmm. We've got professional gardeners. They've been here right from the start. Doug has. But at Ashford and Thanet, the gardens are done by a volunteer group, and they're lovely. They really are wonderful.
Before we leave you, and thank you very much for your time, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like our listeners to be aware of? Any events coming up? Any call for more volunteers? Any topics that you think people would be interested in?
Well, all I would say is have a look at the website, Pilgrims Hospices. .org, and you'll get all the information about what's happening, all the volunteering posts, the jobs that are on offer, and how you can help if you wanted to, how you could help with the hospice, and you know, just get to know us and understand what we're here for.
And don't be afraid. Hospice is somewhere where we encourage people to live life to the full all the time they have life.
Yeah.
And then we have a safe environment for people at end of life. So don't be frightened.
I think sometimes there is that doorway of that's
you go there and you don't come out.
But
actually a lot of our patients do.
And as you say, with these type of tools that you talked about with the labyrinth, it gives them that extra quality of their life that they're living in the present moment.
That's the way hospice have expanded. Cicely Saunders started in the 60s with pain control, symptom control. That was the initial one. It then went on to end-of-life care, which was a natural progression. And then all us non-medical practitioners got involved with the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual care. And, you know, now we've got labyrinths and we've got drumming and music. We do a lot of music here. And that music is so therapeutic.
Channel Radio.
So that's our first recording. Apologies for the starting, as I say, just making sure that we get it all up to scratch and that it's loud enough. So I've turned up my gadget over here so it's as loud as it can go. And I think as we're talking about music, and we're talking about music being very therapeutic, we thought we might play something a little bit different from some of our previous shows. So have a little listen to the words.
Thank you.
Nice and relaxed.
Thank you, yes. For the well, thank you to lots of different people, isn't it? Let me just go back to our recordings.
I want to thank Martin and Reverend Liz for their time when we visited them a few weeks back. Yes, they very kindly gave us most of the morning and gave us a guided tour of various facilities, the lovely gardens and the day room. And the labyrinth in particular, which obviously we'll be talking about next week.
Yes, we are, with our experiences as well, both of the walking and of the wood and the finger tracing as well. And this one, just again, you may hand that when we did the recording, we weren't aware, but listening back, there may be a little bit of phone interference, I think we hear.
Towards the end of
this
segment.
While we were recording. So I don't think it's interference currently live. It's actually within the recording. So bear with us, but otherwise it should be. Bear enough with your volumes. This is, again, more about the team and the support. I've pressed the button.
Liz is the only one who is virtually on call. Most of us work with some form of timetable.
Right.
Like the social workers, the counsellors, myself, will have outpatients booked, or Wednesday and Thursday from 1 till 3, I'm in day hospice. Yes, if there's an emergency, and very rarely, but sometimes, you know, I've been working with someone on the ward, and one of the nurses will come saying, we're having a bit of a can you come on the ward? And so, yes, everyone understands, yes. And so they leave. But Liz, yes, she does funerals, obviously, for some of our patients, or she has bereavement sessions with families who have just lost their loved one. Mm. Now, but otherwise, she's on, you know, whatever she's doing has to stop. Mm-hmm. And she, when we get, a request from one of the relatives or one of the patients. So I think one of the loveliest things about the team we've got here is that we very, very rarely come across a problem that a patient or carer has where there isn't someone who can help. Because you click with people, don't you?
Yeah.
So people, you know, we say, we know exactly, I know exactly who you need to see.
What other activities or practical support do people get?
About 2 or 3 years ago, we reorganised, having gone through nearly 30 years, it was between the 25th and 30th anniversary, we decided we'd got the fabric, we got all the bits and pieces, all the bricks in the right place. Now, we've got a little bit behind in the internal structure, the way we work. Mm-hmm. And one of the best things we did was, we're a multidisciplinary team, so we all work together. Mm-hmm. But we created a family services unit, which covers all the work we do in the community, the day hospice, and we thought of this wonderful umbrella thing called Living for Today, in which we have the carers' days, mm-hmm. Caring with Competence, which is a 6 week, or we're trying 4 weeks, because 6 weeks is a lot of commitment for carers, where we give them all the information they need about pensions, benefits, the community charities that help out with carers, and they talk to the doctors, they talk to me, they talk to the chaplain and the social workers and the physios and occupational therapists, and you know, all the things that they need to know to make life easier as a carer. And then we had loads of different things for the patients, but the family services unit has brought patients and carers together. So we have if you look on the list, we have a number of things. Like, we have yoga once a month. We have the drop-in on a Tuesday now, where you just come and go. That's one of the hardest ones we've had to sell, because so many people get appointments all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Or it starts at 10 and finishes at 4. Mm. Do I have to stay the whole time? Mm. And no, you just drop in. What do we do on drop-ins? Well, I've got a Reiki practitioner and there's me, so you can book up if you want, or just take potluck. Simon comes in for 6 weeks and does Let's Make Music, then there's a break. And we had a few other things, like we had one of the fire ladies from the fire service in to talk about safety in the home. That was fascinating. Mm. You can come in or go out, it doesn't matter what you do. And that's carers and patients. Mm. And then we have, I started some pamper afternoons for carers and patients every quarter, and we're just slowly building all those different things up. And we've got the outreach groups going now. So we started down in Dover at the Railway Club, and they're wonderful. They gave us a space, and that's been thriving. That's every Friday morning. Again, patients, it's not like day hospice, mm-hmm. It's patients and carers can go there. We've got a complementary therapist who turns up there, and a couple of other volunteers. Jane goes down there.
I was going to say, is that where Jane? Yes.
Yeah. And then on the success of that, we've started one in Herne Bay. Because it's so easy for people to drop in there. Mm. Again, it's drop in, they don't have to stay the whole time. Because it's only down the road. And that's taking the hospice to them, and that's...
Yes, that's good.
That really is good. And, you know, basically, the family services, yes, they have a medical input in that we can access the doctors, but we have the community nurses, our specialist palliative nurses, who go out to do first visits, along with our associate practitioners who take the other side, the non-medical side, what we can do for them. And we have breathlessness clinic. Very difficult, so breathless.
I saw that on the notice outside.
Yeah, breathlessness clinic. Mm. We have various other things. Tuesday afternoons there's Time to Create, which is effectively, we could say craft-based, and that doesn't give a true picture, because you can come and do anything. We've had some wonderful photography sessions going on. Someone from the university came down and did a photography course. And yeah, you create anything. We've got a tremendous lot of creative writing. People have written books. Not only of their life history, but one of our patients did it on fishing. And we've had a few bits published in, like, Pensioner's Voice. Because we are, you know, our average age group is quite elderly. Mm. We are seeing a lot of very young people now, though.
Oh, yeah. And
that is... that. It's not a hole, but it's a problem in the whole of the country. The male's the house. The children go there till they're 18. Then they're not allowed to go anymore.
Right.
They don't want to come here.
No.
Not to a hospice like this. So that is what we're trying to do at the moment, is to look, what can we put on for them?
Yeah.
Because they're living, most 18 to 30 year olds are living a pretty normal life. Mm. So they don't want to come in and sit here for the whole day. Mm. You know, they're like my kids. They're, you know, here, there, dining in and out, out. So that is something we're really having to work hard about. Mm. And at the moment, we haven't cracked that one yet. We also do a lot of education, obviously, because we run palliative courses and all sorts of different courses. I do a touch therapy course for community workers. We get a lot of care home staff coming out with dementia people, because touch is another form of communication. Yes, that's how I approach it.
Yes.
rather than anything else, is that touch is a form of communication. Mm. And of course touch is so healing. We do fight tooth and nail to keep being allowed to touch our patients.
Yes, I'm sure.
It's very, very difficult. Mm. Yes, we have to be incredibly careful. Mm. But it's vital. Because at the end of the day, if you're not feeling well, if you've got man flu, you won't understand how bad that is.
We don't get that, do we?
No. But all you want to do is be picked up and cuddled and someone rock you gently and say, you're going to be all right. And that's the value of touch, isn't it? And that's what all the staff here do.
That is our human...
Yeah,
a human. Needs touch.
Yeah. What's the... I don't know if qualifying is the right word for it. How does somebody become a resident as opposed to a day person? Is it the final journey?
No,
or?
It's nothing like that at all. He says, I won't say you've got that completely wrong because I've said it. No, you get referred to us by GP consultant at the hospital. That's the way you refer. And you're referred for palliative care.
Right.
The palliative specialist nurse goes and sees you, and the associate practitioner goes and sees you, and they decide on what you would benefit most from. So, initially, that's getting used to us. That's one of the biggest values of complementary therapy, and why I think we are so valuable. Mm-hmm. And so, well, we're in every hospice, because getting people through the front door is very difficult. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming in for a reflexology session or aromatherapy, come and see Martin. You know, he'll make you feel really nice. That's not coming into the hospice. Mm. And so people get used to us like that. Mm. And then, or they, you know, they Liz or Debbie or Victoria will go, those two are the social workers, they'll go and visit people in their home and so on, and talk about counselling and talk about doctor's appointments and things like that. Mm. So you only come on the ward when you need to. Mm-hmm. Pain control, right. Symptom control, we do respite, mm-hmm. where it's 5-star hotel service. And that's for all sorts of different reasons, you know. One of the nicest respites I ever got involved in was we had a family. The mum was the patient. Relatively young family. They had teenage children who did the what's that walk to San Sebastian?
Pilgrim's Way.
No, all the way down through France. There's a walk you can do, isn't there? Anyway. They'd got to the other side of Paris and were running out of clothes. So Dad and the brother wanted to go down and meet. So Mum came in here for a week. They were able to go down. And so that's respite, or just a break. If you're on your own trying to cope, you just need a hotel for a week. So we don't do it.
We could have done with that with my dad.
Yeah. We try and keep two beds. Each of the three hospices try and keep two beds available for that. Can't always do it, but we can. So, you know, it's there. We're there as a safety net from that. Yes, of course, we have two very, very difficult questions, which have to be asked at some point, and that was your preferred place of final care and preferred place of death. Because if we know where you want to be, we can organise, can't promise that it'll happen, but we can work towards it. So yes, we do take patients who, for end of life care, if that's what
choice.
They want. Yeah. And, you know, we have to admit that that's what we're here for, as well as all the other stuff we do. And that's the hardest thing to get over. From all hospices have trouble doing this, is that, you know, people think it's just a place you come at the end of your life. No, there's so much more. We do so much more than just that. As I say, there's, you know, as you go out, look at the list of things on the month, the big A3 monthly sheet.
That timetable.
The timetable on what's going on every day. There's so much going on. Pain control, symptom control, psychosocial needs. We have patients in for that. Everything. And then the other side is we have hospice at home, which is an emergency. This came about through one of our consultants, Andrew Thorns, down at, I think it was him, I'll lay the glory at his feet. He wanted to find out, his consultant down at Margate, why it seemed like so many of our patients were dying in an A&E. And he found out it was out of hours and weekends in particular, because there was no other service for them. We got a grant to do a research project, and we have a team of wonderful, wonderful super HCAs, I would call them. All our HCAs are super, but these are specialists just trained to go into the home, because he also found out in his study of the hospital deaths, most of the 999 calls, a lot of them were for social breakdown reasons, not pain or end of life situations or anything like that. It was just that the family couldn't cope anymore with what was going on. So the team go in there, offer 24-hour-a-day care to get you through either overnight or over the weekend, or as you know, it's usually 2 or 3 days. It's not permanent.
No, it's just that short
time. And it's worked out. So it's brilliant. It's been one of absolute success.
So that's often the case with when I know from my own personal experience, we were discharged. I called it let out of Big Brother House. Discharged on the Friday. It always seemed to be happening on a Friday. But of course, you get home on a Friday, you shut the door, you wave goodbye to the ambulance, and then, it's Saturday and Sunday tomorrow. Now what? Yeah. As you say, who do you contact?
Yeah. I say it's a great success. I base that entirely on what patients have said to me and what carers have said to me in carers' days and things like that.
That's the most important feedback, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not accepted by the government and things like that, but it's certainly accepted by us lot.
Do you put the word yet in there?
You know, those, and we're looking all the time to doing as many different things as we possibly can with the patients, and ideas come up, and we try them. Some work, some don't. But also, 24 years, 25 years this September later, I am staggered at the generosity of the people in North East Kent. They give us oodles of money. It's amazing. It's just unbelievable.
That's great.
I mean, you know, yes, that we have the big events. There's all the constant coffee mornings and things like that. But then we have our summer fair, and it starts at 12 and finishes at 4, and we're like £20,000
richer in 4 hours. And that's people coming in and handing the money over. Mm. Jeez, they're just staggering.
And in practical terms, if you had no donations, would you still be in existence?
No. No hospice would.
Well, that was Martin and Reverend Liz. And now we should have on the line, with our technology that's been working, I should be hearing from the dulcet tones of Nick Evans, who is Communications Manager at Pilgrim's Hospice. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon, Angela.
Good afternoon. And also, I gather you have in the room with you on a wonderful conference speakerphone, Shirley Riddell. Is that right? Have I pronounced your name correctly?
That's correct, yeah.
And you're the manager of Pilgrim's Hospice Lottery, which we're going to hear about in a moment or two. And also, I hope she's being looked after and pampered. Eleanor Sheath, who also, as well as being the Pilgrim's Marketing Coordinator, she did the Divas on Wheels yesterday, I understand.
Yay!
Congratulations. And so I think very apt, we should talk about that.
I think we'll
and
start
we should
with that
find
one.
Out how did it go yesterday?
It was really good, yeah, really great day. Loads of people turned up. We had 270 women cycling, and it's the first time I've ever done anything like that before, so it was really brilliant that I was able to get through the whole 50 miles.
Wow.
So what was the furthest you'd gone before your 50 miles?
I did some of the training-wise, which started sort of a couple of months ago, so we worked our way up gradually with those, and I'd done to about 20.
Right.
So the first bit I was all right, and I was all unknown.
And how was the weather for you?
The weather was better than we thought it was going to be. It was quite showery in places, but it wasn't too bad. The wind was sort of...
was it with you?
It was all right.
Good.
It was the atmosphere, really, that kept us going. Everybody sort of helped each other along the way, and... you know, if you get to a really hard hill or whatever, you just kind of help each other get up by encouraging each other along. It's a really good day.
Really, really good. So just to clarify, 270, 270 women?
Sorry, I should have said 260. I was getting carried away.
You're entitled.
A few extras came in.
210 we signed up originally, and then more people turned up on the day and registered in the morning. So that was really great to see extra people turning up.
That's fantastic.
It's a big amount to have there on a day. It really makes for an exciting day when there's all that many people sort of out there on the road.
Yeah.
And do you have any initial idea of how much you might have raised?
At the moment we're looking at, we've got around £6,500 that we've already counted in things like the raffle, registration amounts, and then obviously added to that will be the sponsorship from people that comes in afterwards. So
yeah.
I think it's September we'll find out the final figure, but it's already looking really good.
Excellent.
Oh, well, we will make sure that you get back in touch with us to let us know, and we'll make sure that gets you a big shout out in September when you get the final figures. And a sincere well done again from here.
Yes.
We're just relaxing in our chairs, but yeah, well, a round of applause there. Fantastic efforts. Well done, everyone that took part. And also, I understand then there's another activity, is there not, to do with pyjamas?
Yes, that's right. This Saturday evening, starting at the Ashford Designer Outlet, we have our pyjama walk. The theme this year is very much have funsy in your onesie.
Fantastic.
So we're asking people to sign up, put on their best onesies, and step out with us to raise money for pilgrims. It's a 10-mile walk. As I say, starting at the and finishing at the Designer Outlet, and the circuit takes you around Ashford itself.
Fantastic. So maybe do a bit of shopping beforehand or after. Maybe you could go and shop for your onesie, then get changed.
Before might be better, the shops might still be open. it's an evening walk starting at around about 10 o'clock on Saturday evening, and there'll be live music and other jollities to enjoy before it all gets underway.
That's fantastic. And so how would people register or contact for that, Nick?
Right, they can register on our website. There's a special button from the front page at www.pilgrimshospices.org.
Yeah.
Or if you wish, you can phone the hotline. The number for that is 01233 504 111.
Fantastic. We'll also post that on our Who Cares Wins Facebook page for you, Nick, so that link will go up, as well as that also gets tweeted out, so we'll make sure that we cover all angles.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So are you going to be down there, Nick, with your onesie?
I won't be myself. I'm elsewhere. But
excuses.
But my colleague Eleanor will be out there encouraging others on. I'm not sure if she's in a onesie or not, but
I'd have to find a Tigger onesie. That would do for me. But I need to rest up, Nick.
I think you look very fetching.
Hey, I could turn out on the motorbike. That would really clash, wouldn't it? Then? Tigger in a onesie on a Ducati. But anyway, now there's also, talking to you, Nick, earlier in the week, you were exploring with me that there are lots of other ways that people can actually contribute and help raise, as we heard from Martin, that without donations, without fundraising, not just Pilgrim's Hospice, but lots of hospices just wouldn't be here and wouldn't be in existence. And I know that you mentioned to me something about this sponsor a nurse, which I know is not about paying their wages. Just tell listeners what that is.
Well, what Sponsor a Nurse is all about, Angela, it's a campaign we launched earlier this year. A lot of people identify having visited our hospice for one reason or another. They can see our nurses at work, the great work they do, and very often they want to contribute directly towards those costs, and hence we set up Sponsor a Nurse. And if people so wish, they can donate accordingly. The key figure to remember is that it costs £20 an hour to cover all the costs of nursing care. And people can choose to sponsor just 1 hour if they want, or if they wish, several hours, a week, or even a whole month if they're feeling particularly generous. And there are also means of making monthly contributions if they prefer, instead of just one-off donations. It's a campaign that's been running for about 3 or 4 months, and it really has been very successful for us, I'm glad to say. But yes, you're right, there are lots of ways people can contribute to helping Pilgrim's Hospices. It costs more than £10.5 million a year these days.
Goodness
to
me.
Run the three hospices in Thanet, Canterbury and Ashford. So
wow.
we're forever out with great ways of raising money, whether it's with a collecting can at a shopping centre or a major event like the Pilgrim's Hospices bike rides and walks, and other wonderful things. And I'm looking at my colleague Shirley here.
Yes, for this lottery. Shirley, I understand this Pilgrims, she's having hilarity. What's going on over there? Who Cares Wins Radio. Yes, hilarity, that's what we like. Pilgrims Hospice Lottery. Tell me more. Something about a lottery that we can play every week?
You certainly can. Pilgrims Hospices has its own lottery. It has 18,000 members. It's more of a membership. It costs £1 a week.
Right.
And you can actually win up to £20,000.
Wow, £20,000. That's
up to
fantastic.
£20,000. It's a weekly draw. There are 106 prizes that are guaranteed to be won every Friday. People don't need to check their numbers. They automatically receive their winnings through the post on the Saturday or the Monday.
Sue's nodding. You're nodding, Sue. Are you involved?
Mum is. She won £10 last week.
Did she? See? You have to be in it to win it.
Absolutely. It's one of those situations where Who Cares Really Does Win.
Yes, indeed. And we like the purpose behind the winning, that it actually, as we've heard with Martin and Liz and yourselves, that, you know, this money actually does go to some great, fantastic use. And we need more of it out there from our listeners. So how do I become a member of the lottery then? How do I do that?
You can go onto our website,
okay.
www.pilgrimshospices.org.
Good.
You can call 01227 379741. Not yet, because I'm here on the radio, so I'm not on the phone. And we do have a dedicated and very hard-working team out on the street, so if they knock on your door, please do sign up. It is totally genuine. The hospice actually raises over £500,000 year in, year out.
Wow.
And it's very much classed as regular giving, so invaluable funds. And another offering to tempt you is our summer draw. Again, tickets are only £1 a week. They should have landed on your doorstep. We sent 36,000 packs out. If they haven't, again, please call us 01227 37 9741, and we'll send you a pack out straight away.
That's fantastic. And surely we'll also, again, like we said with Nick, we will post these on our Facebook website page for Who Cares Wins radio show, so that it can be again covered in every angle. Those notices on Facebook also get tweeted, so we will be shouting for you on your behalf and getting some more, hopefully some more winners. Not within, just in Kent, because we are a global radio station now. We have a listener. Where is it, Sue? We have a listener.
Yeah, one of my friends is actually in Bahrain. So
here we are.
See? Is that the furthest? I've got west coast of Australia covered.
Oh, okay. Look, competitive now. Anyway,
well, we're getting them to buy the lottery tickets.
Indeed, yes. Just give us the money. That's what we want.
They can follow us on Twitter as well, at PH Lottery.
There you go.
Reaction or any of the winning numbers, we're on Twitter as well, and I know you are because I'm actually following you.
Yes, so that's that's PH, isn't it? Pilgrim's Hospice, PH Lottery.
Yep.
And then obviously you've got the lovely at Pilgrim's Hospice as well on Twitter, so yes, those feeds are there. That's as well, right. We're linked in. And I know that we are whizzing through with our time, and it was a time-challenged show for me today, but I'm doing okay. Jan's smiling at me. But one other thing that I wanted to raise, I've talked a little bit about this with Wendy as well, one of your colleagues, is the Anne Robertson Centre, which you've had, which is the sort of a slightly different slant to Pilgrim's Hospice. Tell us a bit more about that. I don't know whether it's all three of you or one of you is more expert in that area.
Okay, I think I can tell you a little bit more about it, Angela. It's a conference meeting room, training room facility that we created at the beginning of the year from a building that is next door to the Pilgrim's Hospice site in Canterbury. It's a building we purchased a little time ago with a long-term eye to future development, and While we're planning a long way ahead for whatever that may be, in the meantime, we've converted part of the building into this very nicely appointed venue in which businesses and individuals, if they wish, can hire rooms for training events, conferences, and the like. It has all the facilities, large screens on the walls, projectors.
It's very state of the art. I had a look round a few months ago, and I was very impressed as a trainer, as you know, with my other hat on, looking at it. Indeed. As delivering is state of the art, very, very organised.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and clearly for a lot of businesses, if they want a prestigious venue near the centre of Canterbury, then they need only to look in our direction, really. Rooms will take up to between 20 and 50 people, depending on the size. So that could meet a lot of need for several businesses in the area. And there's quite a lot of parking alongside the building too.
Yes, which is a big thing, isn't it? Having parking,
which
you've
got
this great car park
in the centre of Canterbury.
Yes, indeed. Although you are very near both railway stations, aren't you? You're very, very great in the location.
Not far at all. A short ride from one, and a short walk from the other, even.
Indeed, and I know that, as you say, all those profits are ploughed back into Pilgrim's Hospice. So again, even if you're hiring that room, as a listener out there, if you're thinking about using it for a meeting room or a training room, of course, it's still that money going to a good cause rather
that's correct. The money we make on that venture goes straight back into patient care.
That's fantastic. So is there anything else? You've got probably about 60 seconds left. Took about 60 minutes slot there. But Shirley and Eleanor and Nick, this has been fantastic that you've been able to join us with technology and our phone line. And it's been marvellous. And I'm amazed at myself being pressing all these buttons and it's worked and I haven't cut you all off. Is there anything else? I am amazed. I'm going to have lie down now. But is there anything else? Yes.
Yes, a very quick plug, if I may.
Yes, please do.
This Saturday, of course, we have our summer fair at the hospice in Canterbury.
Yes.
Between 12 and 4, I think Martin mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
Our hospice in Ashford will have its summer fair very soon, on the 3rd of August, in fact. So only a few weeks to go before that. There's a free park and ride scheme from the Ashford Summer Fair, and the park and ride bus in from Stagecoach will be operating from that. And I'm told there's a draw to win a holiday for up to six people to be won too.
Fantastic. So that's you three and us three. That's sorted.
We're done.
Yorker, here we come.
Where's me onesie? That's fantastic. So, Nick, you will give us the more details near the time for the Ashford fete, because we will then read that out on air and remind listeners of that date and all those details later.
Yes, gladly.
Fantastic. Well, thank all of you. Thanks to you very much for joining us and taking the time away from your phones and your busy work lives there at Pilgrim's Hospice.
Hope Shirley will be flooded with phone calls the minute you get back to your office for the lottery.
I hope so.
Lovely. Well, thanks for having us, and hope we'll speak again soon.
Indeed. You take care. Thank you ever so much. Bye for now.
Okay.
So that was the Pilgrim's Hospice, well, some of the Pilgrim's Hospice team. And I think now is time for a bit of music.
Very apt title.
And very apt title. Very appropriate.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, hide it now. Tell no insane. Certain it happens all the time, yeah.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but it sure feels like
madness.
Don't you know I'm gonna make it with my friends? I promised myself I'd get back. Said I'm gonna try it with.
Yeah.
Well, lots of friends we need. So there's also another event that we need to publicise. I'm going.
Chance to make new friends in business. Again, linked to Pilgrim's Hospice. It's at the Anne Robinson Centre. It's the Kent Business Tweet Up.
Oh, the pop-up.
And they're having a pop-up. So it's the second one to be held at the Anne Robinson Centre. It's on Wednesday the 17th of July. It's between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Anne Robinson Centre. That's on the London Road, Canterbury.
Book it in your diary.
Search Kent Business Tweet Up, or you can search the Anne Robinson Centre.
Yes, I think both the lovely Ken and Jules will be retweeting that on the Twitter handle of @KentTweetUps.
And we'll make sure that's on Facebook.
And we'll put that on Facebook as well. Fantastic. And don't forget, listeners, I'm not going to be in my onesie on Saturday because I'll be resting in readiness for Sunday. It's Race for Life. Rah! Da, da, da. And so I am going to be running the 5K race in Herne Bay from Hampton Pier. Thank you. Jan's going to be there, so she's going to be laughing. And she'll be taking the incriminating photos of
me my best, folks.
Crawling across the finish line. So if you want to sponsor me, and I am part of a team that is on Facebook page, haven't we? We put it on there.
Yeah, we've put it
on. So you can find the address. It's actually Race for Life, sponsor me, or .org, isn't it? / and then it's Angelo's Angels, because it's obviously Angelo's is the deli where I do some part-time work. So I'll be there dressed in pink, got pink hat, can't miss me. Should have got Who Cares Wins t-shirt, shouldn't I, as well? But anyway,
never mind.
So that's on Sunday. Also on Sunday, if you can't make it down to Herne Bay, don't forget Lucia and the team at More Than Yoga in Ramsgate do have their Moving from Stillness event. It's a yoga workshop. And that's on Sunday as well from 10 till 12. So if you want to get through, then go to the website morethanyoga.co.uk and either talk to Lucia or Annetta through their sites there. And we've got loads of events, which we haven't got time to cover all of them, but we can cover most of the others I have next week. Anything else, Jan?
No. A couple of conferences, but I'll put them on Facebook.
Put them on Facebook. Fantastic. And also we can tweet those. And Sue, I know you've got an inspirational insight for us this week, because I forgot last week. You didn't throw things at me, did you?
Well, you know.
Trying to be polite this side of the table.
We'll sit on the fence. So this is a really good one. What you can become depends upon what you can overcome.
Ah, like it. Well, that's very apt as well. But then that's you all over, isn't it? It's so LinkedIn. So I hope you've enjoyed the show this afternoon, listeners. You've been listening to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk, all about Pilgrim's Hospice. And we follow on with that topic next week, where we explore our experiences and find out more about what a labyrinth is and why they had one at the Pilgrim's Hospice in Canterbury. And all three of us then experienced it, and we have our feedback of that. So more recordings for you next week, but we will also be live in the studio with those. Don't forget, there are some fantastic shows on channelradio.co.uk. So as well as this marvellous show, of course, which, you know, without us,
there'd be no show.
There would be no show. And I have got, today especially, 6 o'clock, don't forget, Big Band Special with Roger and Trevor. Big bands. I love big bands. At 7 o'clock, we've got Grown Folk Grooves with Conrad. I can't do his voice. Can you do his voice?
No, you just like listening to his voice.
Like listening to his
voice. I don't want him to play any music. I just want him to talk.
If you haven't listened, then you're missing out, listener. At 9 o'clock, we have Revolutions with Martin and Saffers. So they're just for today. There's loads more. Do tune in, channelradio.co.uk. This has been Who Cares Wins. See you next week.